We've been talking to a lot of organisations that have had to pivot like crazy to keep their artists in work during and since lockdown. That includes Pacific Dance New Zealand, that celebrates its 10th anniversary this year. Planned live events, including a dance festival, had to hit the dust. So instead, PDNZ has invited 10 artists to film half-hour shows reflecting on traditional Pacific dance forms. The Transform series has just started to be rolled out. Yosefa Inari, founder and director of Pacific Dance NZ, was awarded a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit for services to Pacific Dance in this year's Queen's Birthday Honours. I asked him about his own childhood dance memories.
I grew up at the PIC Church here in Auckland, the Pacific Island Presbyterian Church. And that church is made up of Samoans, Cook Islanders, Niueans, and in those days, Tuvaluans and Tokelau people as well. So my early memories of dance was cultural dancing at church things, fundraisers and that sort of activity, get-togethers with other churches as well. So those are my early memories, and also learning kapa haka at primary school. It wasn't too dissimilar, the vowels and some of the words, but the movements were really different to what I'm used to, you know, the shaking of the hands and using poi and patu and taiaha and that sort of stance and that aggressive haka that boys do. So, yeah, it was a kind of like a very cultural introduction to dance, really.
And what a great grounding for you. So when you did decide to train as a professional dancer, which you did at Unitec, you had all this to bring to the floor. How old were you when you decided that this was what you wanted to do?
I was in my seventh form year. I went to a dance class at LIMS, and that was I just knew I was in the right place, that was definitely for me.
Pacific Dance New Zealand, what a shame that the 10th birthday celebrations have been scuppered to a degree. But take me back to the start of Pacific Dance New Zealand too, because it feels like it's been a really busy, high-profile decade for Pacifica dance.
When I think about how we started off, I'm always reminded that it was a community idea. We had a whānau 11 years ago, where we just invited people from the Pacific community who were dancing, because I started to notice there were a lot of dance groups around. And so we had this whānau, and it was to bring people together. I asked Neil Yeremia if he could be the keynote speaker of it. And it was just to get some kind of idea from our Pacific people what they wanted to do in terms of getting into the industry. And originally I thought it was for groups like hula groups who do corporate gigs. I thought it was more that kind of group that we'll be dealing with. But actually quite a few older people turned up. They are leaders or masters of their own cultural dancing. And so they would talk to me about how they wanted to do more work with young people, that they wanted their young people to be engaged, but they felt like the young people didn't want to engage with it. They wanted more profile of the cultural dances so that young people can get on top of their language and their identity. There were also things that were brought up about how dance can be used, in particular our cultural dances can be used in health for our older people. You know, that dancing will help them move, but get their brain going as well. Not only just, you know, not only their physical arms, but get their brains going, memories, that sort of positive well-being. And other issues of, you know, can dance be brought into schools? So in actual fact, Pacific Dance New Zealand started as a community-based project to keep our cultures alive. But then we started to have these young people that would come into our programs and ask, is there opportunities for them to develop their skills? And that was more for young choreographers who wanted to try making dances, but one didn't have the funding to take, you know, 4 to 5 weeks off to pay themselves or to pay their dancers, and they didn't really know where to go after they've made it. So we became a little bit more of a place where we'd set up things like choreographic labs and artists in residence on top of our community engagement programs, you know, which I like to refer to them as. So there's one part which is our heritage, keeping our heritage dances alive and acknowledging that lots of our older people are passing. And this is the opportunity to, you know, to gather some of this information and archive it somewhere. So we've got that on one end, and then right on the other end, we have our, you know, our local dancers who want to now move into choreography and lead their own dance companies, but just need that support. So when it came to the festival, that became another organic thing that rolled out. We had commissioned so many works, and then we decided, well, why don't we just set up a festival so that we can return the works and give them more time to develop it, to bring it into a bigger... The first time they ever do it, the works may be 10 minutes, 10 to 12, 15 minutes maybe, you know, get the idea going. And then we realise, well, actually, maybe we should just set up a platform for them to take their work into a full hour-length show and then support them in presenting those shows, those works.
And what are you noticing with the young choreographers that Pacific Dance NZ is working with? I mean, are they really pushing themselves, pushing their dances, pushing the forms, looking to the past, looking to the future? How would you see it at the moment?
I'm absolutely nodding my head as you're saying that. Indeed, they are. We're getting works now that really I can't even identify with, and maybe it's because, you know, I'm not of that world. I only got Facebook, for example, a couple of years ago. It was only because the staff kept harassing me, like, get a Facebook page. So I was not familiar with that world that our young people are in. And I remember one dance was a whole bunch of, they had lit behind them all these messages. And I was just like, what is that? And they said, this is what Facebook does. And of course, what that piece was about was the way technology has really taken over our young people and their lives. And so I'm kind of watching this thing like I had no idea that our young people communicate in this fashion. And so lots of the negative things that fall out from it, you know, our young people, in particular our Pacific young people, man, they love technology. They love new things. They like to get modern and adapt. But, of course, some of the results aren't very positive. And, you know, we're looking at that sort of bullying that's carrying on, the violent things that are going on here in New Zealand with our young people and the issues that they're facing. So I feel like just because they are in a new generation and they're in a new century, they naturally are going to just teach us things and put up a little bit more of where they're coming from and about how they're dealing with things. And sometimes maybe our heritage culture is not so supportive of that because, you know, we sort of believe young people should be seen and not heard, and young people should just go to school and get a degree and live a, you know, what is the problem? But I've seen some works that have come out, LGBT issues as well, that have come out from our young Pacific people. Issues of sexual assaults and domestic violence, how these young people have seen that and how it's, you know, how it impacts on them and the kind of stories that they want to tell. And some of those stories are not polite stories at all. These issues of loss of identity as well. Lots of our young people don't speak the language. They don't have grandma or granddad in the house anymore. Maybe mum and dad are second or third generation New Zealanders who don't speak the language either. So I can see that there's that conflict as well with our young people that is, you know, they get modern in a new modern world, but there is a sense of loss on that for them. And I think coming and engaging in heritage dance forms, it's meaningful, it's a way for them to connect, it's rewarding. And they're adding to their dance skills, you know, their bag of tricks, of dance moves.
At the same time, you've been working with artists on the Transform series. You were pivoting very quickly to get this up. But what is the concept behind this?
Well, to celebrate 10 years, we thought we would invite 10 artists that we've worked with over over our 10 years. And each artist that we asked had one foot very grounded in the heritage space, you know, the old school dancing, language, costumes and movements. So we wanted those 10 artists to help us celebrate our 10th anniversary by reminding our people and the dance community in general in New Zealand about the various dance forms that we have here and the various culture groups that live in Aotearoa New Zealand. So we could have actually gone a bit further, but we stuck with 10, and they range from Fiji, the Meke dancing from Fiji, Samoan, Tawalunga and Ma'ulu. We have Tongan dancing in there, Cook Island Uda in there, Tahitian in there. One of them's from Uvea, very small island. But who would have known there's actually quite a big group of them that live here in Aotearoa. They've been here for many decades. It's like a scholarship program that had happened here. And so Uvea, that particular series I really enjoyed because that dancing looks terribly like Tongan dancing. And if you dig deep into the dance form and you get anthropological about it, you're actually going to realise that, oh, Uvea was a colony of Tonga back in its day, and that's why those dances are quite similar. So, you know, there's all these things that are going to come from it that I'm hoping our people are going to learn.
You must have loved it when you were finding out from these artists how they were going to use this 30 minutes, this is the 30-minute episode for the series, because I think some of them are maybe offering advice through workshops or some kind of online class, but I think you've got other approaches to this as well, quite interactive.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing we wanted, is that it wasn't just, you know, a sort of arts program that goes out there and you watch it. We did kind of want people to get up as they're watching it and try, you know, just go into the stance or move their hands. So yeah, for me, when I see the artists talk, I am sitting there, I could sit there for hours, but when they also get up and demonstrate, oh, that's when I'm like, oh, wow, we didn't actually think that this might happen. But
and are you up on your feet?
I'm up on my feet, yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow. And I'm hoping people get up on their feet as well and trial it out.
Oh, that's a lovely idea. Is this something that you might keep exploring? I mean, I know this is such a big year, of course, for PDNZ, but in the future, do you think that one of the silver linings, perhaps, from the whole COVID-19 pandemic, I mean, you're innovative by nature, is trying different things?
Oh, definitely. This came to us from out of the blues. We really had no choice. We were locking up the office and I'm scratching my head like, oh my gosh, what do we do in this gap that we've got given? And then I spent a good 2 weeks in lockdown just really thinking it out. We were having Zoom calls with the marketing and a couple of artists just talking this idea out. So yeah, I want to continue it. This is, I guess, the first step for us. I want to come back and look at next year and about what else we could do. This year we focused on the heritage, so it might be that next year we might focus on our mid-career artists, those who have done two or three works and are about to really take their step into larger works. So kind of the same format. You meet the artists, they demonstrate a little bit about what they do, they talk about their process, and then you get to understand who that maker is, you know, who's making that art form. So definitely, and I don't know, I just say it, but kind of thank you, COVID, because I would never have thought that.
Sefa, you were recognised in the 2020 Queen's Birthday Honours list for your services to Pacific dance. And I know that's not why you do it, for that kind of recognition, but what does it mean to you?
Oh, you know, I got that notification on the first week of COVID. So it was a very surreal experience sitting on your own. You know, my parents aren't here anymore. My brother, my siblings live overseas. My partner wasn't here either. So I'm kind of sitting there on my own thinking, wow, gee. And, you know, with no one to talk to, I guess for me personally, it's a real honour for my parents, you know. They're migrants that came over and they were so incredibly supportive of what I did. Never, ever just discouraged me about what I did. So I think it was more, for me, I really missed them and thinking about their journey coming here. And I think that's every Pacific Island migrant's dream, is that they come here, raise their children, and that their children just do what they do and do it to the best of their ability, be happy in their lives. I felt their presence with me, and I felt my whole family with me. And so that's what it meant to me. It just really meant, you know, having mum and dad's dream come true, even though they're not here to witness it. But that they just instilled with us kids, look, just do what you're going to do and just do the best you're going to do at what you do. And that's all we're going to ask from you. That's all we can expect from you.
Yosefa Inari from Pacific NZ, and the Transform series has just started being rolled out on Facebook. Details on our webpage, along with a full interview with Sifa.